All right, folks, after a long hiatus, I am back on the podcast airwaves. Thank you for listening to Taylor Jones podcast. It's been a long little break, another, I guess you'd call it a season break. So season two is done, moving into season three now of the podcast, and I couldn't be more excited about it. We just passed a year in production here with the podcast, and you know, when I first started this whole craziness, I never thought I'd make it this far, to be honest with you. had a lot of people in our community here in Nashville that have lent me their time and been a part of something that honestly doesn't help them at all, really. It just kind of is for the fans, and if it helps anybody, it helps me, because it gets, you know what I'm saying, it keeps me relevant or whatever. But they've been so gracious to give me their time, and each one of them has made a particular impact on me as a person, because in listening to these stories and I don't know, just hearing the details of somebody's life, you know, it's, you learn. I mean, you learn more about what they've been through. You learn about, you know, their influence on you as it goes forward, as friends and whatnot, and kind of why they are and who they are through their testimony and their story. And that's what this whole thing is about. Is I've always believed that people's story is the most, maybe one of the most powerful things that they have to offer the world. And just by giving their testimony, giving their story of how they got from point A to point B, there's just, it's hard to ignore all the stuff that, all the blessings and all the cool stuff that's happened to them in between time. So that's what this thing is about. If you've never tuned in before, I'm Taylor Jones. I'm a Nashvillian, a musician, a so-called entertainer. At least I like to fancy myself as such. I enjoy entertaining people, whether it be making you laugh in person or if I do happen to be playing music for you or with you or whatever. And now with the podcast. So I hope that this thing can continue to, you know, make your drive into work or drive home or whatever a little easier, or chores that you do. However, whichever time you listen to this podcast, I hope that it's been a positive part of your life and something that you enjoy and look forward to receiving automatically on your phone if you subscribe to it. If you do subscribe to it, you're my heroes. You guys are, I don't know, you know, when you first start a podcast, the thing that goes through your mind is who's going to listen to this thing, you know? And, but somehow, some way, you guys have found me, and you've participated in my crazy game here, and I'm thankful for you all, immensely thankful, and I hope to continue to bring you the fun audio as we go along. There's a whole nother list of people that I'm seeking out right now to do interviews with, and to invite to the house or go to their house or eat or whatever and record a conversation. That's what this podcast format is. It's just me interviewing somebody else that either lives in Nashville or happens to be in Nashville at the time. Occasionally I'll do podcasts on remote other cities or whatever, but most of them happen here. So I'm thinking about rebranding it a little bit and maybe changing it into something that's a little more Nashville centric in the title. Where people would have a reason to discover the podcast, because my name really doesn't offer any interest to somebody who doesn't already know me. So we're going to try to figure out a way to get this thing heard a little more. I'd love to take podcasting more seriously and perhaps, you know, do this on a little more regular basis. So don't know what that means yet, but I hope that there's something cool in store for all of us to make this thing bigger and better and faster and make more sense. So if you're wondering where, if you are a new, a long time listener and you're wondering where I've been for the last several weeks. Well, I'll tell you about all that as we go along. I was not able to really podcast while I was gone, mostly just because I was working strange hours and I didn't know a lot of the people out there that I was working with on the top end, but I did make friends. And I think it's going to lead to some cool podcasts down the road. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Well, let's talk about it now, actually. There's a lot of things I want to talk about in this thing. I'm doing a solo show today. Just wanted to check back in, explain myself, and, you know, welcome in season three the right way. And that's what we're going to do. One of the things I want to talk about is the Vespers, my viewpoint or my perspective on what's going on with that and where that's going and not going and whatever and all those things. Another thing I want to talk about is obviously the Live Original tour that I was on for the last 4 weeks, and I just got back home last weekend and just kind of getting my feet back on the ground here in town and flipping my schedule back around and everything like that. And then, who knows, maybe we'll even talk some Hillary and Trump. I don't know. That depends on if my stomach turns at the thought of it when that comes up. So, okay, so most of you guys who know me probably know me because of the Vespers, if I had to guess. If you know me from social media, for podcasting, or for something else, then that's really cool. And I'd love to hear if you guys have my Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and you do see the stuff about the podcast, feel free to comment on there how we all know each other. I'd love to know. I'd love to get to know my audience better, you guys, and so I can know more about what to provide and how to provide it to entertain you guys. That's what I want to do. So if you do know me from the Vespers, then I'll give you kind of the rundown of what's going on with that. And you know, a few weeks ago they posted a Instagram of like, hey, we've been off for a while and here's why and blah 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 and all that stuff. And you know, it was really well received and we were very well encouraged by that, by the response from that. And if you're one of those people that offered up some of the kind words about us, then we are all, I can speak for all four of them, all four of us, that we're all really collectively very honored that to have been a part of your life for the last 7 years. So thank you for listening to our music, coming to see us play, and buying t-shirts and all that stuff. So the Vespers was something that just kind of started in my garage where I'm sitting right now. And Callie and Phoebe and me and my brother Bruno, we were just teenagers and we wanted to play music. We really didn't know anything about the music business. We didn't know anything about what it would take, but we were learning on the fly and we did the best that we could as 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year old people. So, to put out our first record completely independently and, went on the road for the first time in any of our lives, bought a vehicle to do that in, bought a trailer to do that in, had great booking agents at some point, and kept us moving. So that's probably how we got to know each other, was on the road or through the internet, music, whatever. And so that was us, man. We did that we started in 2009, and you know, that's when we recorded that first record, was in 2009, believe it or not. And that was still back in the MySpace era and the era of doing full-length records, not like EPs, two or three EPs before you come out with your first record, which I think is, I don't like about the music industry today. I think it's kind of a work when your first record is really your second or third record and you've been a band for 5 years and here's your first record. I don't buy that. I don't like that. That's just my opinion. There's a lot of things I don't like and a lot of opinions that I have. A lot of things I do like and opinions that I have too. So, but this is my podcast and you're going to know where I stand at all times on all things, most likely. So I'm not going to hide it from you. But anyway, so we put out our first record. We did, I don't know, 12, 13 songs or whatever. And bang, you know, went off with a bang, toured, made our first trip around the country, toured that record, came back, did another record. Was even better the second time around because we got to involve, by that point, we got to do crowdfunding and you guys contributed. We were trying to raise, I think we were trying to raise maybe 15 grand or something to do that second record. And you guys exceeded that, went beyond what we wanted, and we were, our jaws were literally on the floor when we noticed, that was a lofty goal we never thought we'd make, and you guys made it happen. So that second record was very much a crowd funded record, and I hope that to us that said, yes, we want you guys to make another record, and here's us putting our money where our mouth is. So if you're one of those people that made that record possible for yourselves, you know, not just for us, but I mean, truth is, you never would have heard the music. You never would have heard the music if it wasn't for you buying it. So thank you for that. Like I said, we never had any money behind us. We never had any deal. We never had any thing like that that sort of takes bands to the next level. We were built by you guys. We were built by the audience. And we served the audience. We didn't serve label. We didn't serve anything like that. We only served you guys. And that was kind of our model. So you guys paid for it. You guys got it. And we thank you. Fourth Wall was a great run. We went around the country again another couple times. Went further. Went out west. Went all the way up to, you know, Seattle, Washington, and back down. And like I said, on our own vehicle, on our own dime, on our own merit, we just took off and did our thing. Now by this point we're maybe, you know, I don't even know if everybody's, we're probably all 18 now, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, around in there now. So again, we're still super green, and instead of going to college, we went on the road. That was kind of what we did. So so that was awesome. You know, we got real close and stuff with each other and with the audience, and learned how to play, tried to learn how to be entertainers. We never really fancied ourselves as all that good of entertainers because, I don't know, we're kind of awkward people as far as, like, you know, on the stage, it's really hard to be entertaining, you know, and we were doing it without, ever having, you know, been put in front of somebody else's audience or whatever for 25 shows or 40 shows. Like, we never got to open for that one artist that kind of set us up where we could play in front of a bunch of people every night and really hone our craft. We were doing it in front of sometimes 35, 40 people a night, you know, for years. And so there's always that kind of thing of like, how are we going to make this, you know, fun and entertaining for these people? It's easy when the room's full. I mean, that's the shoot part of it, is like, if it's a full room, it's really easy to be entertaining. If it's not a full room, that's when you learn. Okay. That's when you gotta be good at what you do, because you have to get the people over the fact that they know that they're not at the coolest, hippest thing in town or whatever, but they're at something that's kind of cool to them, and they need you. They need you to do your job well in that moment. So, again, we were very green, and we did the best that we could, and I thought there were times that we really, really hit and times that we missed and whatever. That's just the nature of the beast. Some of you guys have been to both kinds of shows. You know what I'm talking about. So that was sort of when we did all that, was just learning the best we could. By the time it came down to record number 3, you know, we had written a bunch of songs and wanted to do the best record that we could and the best facility that we could. So we did another crowdfunding thing with Kickstarter, and you guys, this time we had a goal, I think, of maybe 30 grand or something, 35. I don't know what it was, but anyway, you guys took it way over the top, and we ended up raising over 40 grand. You guys raised over 40 grand. We didn't do nothing. We just asked you for it. And again, like, that really spoke volumes and made an impact on all of our lives in a humongous way. And, some of the fondest memories of my life is doing those little YouTube hangouts where we were mostly doing it just for the Kickstarter backers on the last night, both times, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you guys for that. And so we went into Paul Moak's Smokestack here in Nashville and made the best record that we possibly could, we thought, with what we were working with and at the time. And Paul was awesome. We made a lifelong friend in him, and he's a guy that you'd run through the brick wall for, because he's just that kind of a dude, you know, honorable guy, and we love him. He's been on the show before, so if you want to look back on the archives and meet that guy with that I'm talking about, then go ahead and do it. So that was that. We produced Sisters and Brothers. He produced that one, and you know, we had a lot of high expectations for that record, and you know, we were trying to take ourselves to the next level. Again, like, we didn't have a label. For some reason, the labels that were interested in us, it didn't seem like a really good fit or whatever. It never, you know, like, maybe 2CCM or 2Country or whatever. I don't know, something along those lines. But we never really had the situation work out in that way. And then the ones that kind of were a good fit, once they saw the show, they weren't interested and that kind of thing. So we had that kind of stuff going on throughout the journey. And so high expectations. We end up, you know, meeting a manager and going down that road for a while. And for whatever reason, it just, you know, didn't work out with that manager. We were with him about a year, year and a half or something. And we had great times together and all, and a lot of fun, but ultimately it didn't work out. And we were not able to take the band to the next level for whatever reason. It's not fun to say, but maybe I could have done more. Maybe we all could have done more individually to help in that process. You know, I'm a believer that every band that ever makes it has earned it. I don't care if you like them or not. Like, they freaking earned it. Even if it looks like they didn't, they did. They sacrificed a lot to get there. And maybe we didn't, you know. When we all got married, we all kind of, we slowed down the road a little too much, in my opinion, for this to work. Like, if you're going to do this, like, a grassroots kind of thing, like, you have to go to every city in America 2-3 times a year. That's just how it works, you know. And regardless of if you have radio play there or whatever, you just got to show up and have a reputation for coming around and doing that. And we slowed down on that. That's our fault, you know. That's on us, for better or for worse, you know. That's what we did, and we tried to be more strategic on the road, but I think the result of that was we just kind of lost our momentum. And if we would have maybe had the pedal to the metal for another few more years, who knows what could happen. I don't know. Can't predict the future. If Frog had wings, he wouldn't kick himself in the rear end, would he? So that being the case, we ended up in a position where, you know, Phoebe and Danny got pregnant. That was right before the Sisters and Brothers record came out. And, you know, the management thing dropped sort of after that at some point. I think Beck was already born and we were already, yeah, I think he was when that happened. So by the end of 2015, we didn't really know up from down or come here from Sikkim or what to do next. And, you know, we weren't in like a bad place or anything with each other. We just didn't really know, you know, how bad we wanted to keep doing this or how bad we want to keep pushing. I mean, touring with a baby on the road is, difficult for a band on our level, especially for the mother. No, it wasn't difficult for me, but it was difficult for the mother especially. So we tried to help her best we can, and she did a great job. You know, Danny did a great job, and the baby did a great job. But it's just a tough lifestyle to try to pull off when you're living in a van and going from town to town and sleeping who knows where every night, you know, that kind of thing. So I sound like I'm making excuses. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to tell you the story from my perspective. And who knows what my bandmates think, if they, you know, agree or disagree with me. We don't always agree on stuff. You know, I'm a very opinionated person, and I call it the way that I see it. Doesn't mean that's the way that everybody else sees it. So when that happened, I was in Israel, and we kind of just decided via email and stuff, like, hey, plans for next year, let's take it easy, let's not really go on the road unless it's real big money and a right situation. And so 2016, we didn't do very many shows at all. We didn't see each other all that much. Callie wound up getting another gig at that same time with Matt, and it's been awesome for her. Phoebe got to stay home and raise her child the way that every child needs to be raised, not in a freaking circus on van on the road and everything, and do it from home. And he's turned into an awesome little kid now. He's almost a year and a half old probably. And Bruno got on with his t-shirt business, and I was kind of left sitting there. I didn't really know what to do with myself. I had nothing really to fall back on other than this grass cutting company that I kind of had started a few years ago, and I didn't want to do that, and got myself out of that, started doing a more of the Uber driving stuff. And so I was pretty kind of down on myself and thinking that I was a failure and a flop and a whatever, all this stuff, you know, and not really felt like, basically I felt like a 27-year-old has been for 6 months, you know, because my run was kind of over. And I think I thought I had peaked, you know. I thought I'll never be a part of something as cool or as hip or whatever is happening as what the Vespers was when it was really cooking. And I had no idea what the next thing was. So I had to make up my mind what I was going to do. And the podcast is already going, thank goodness. So I was able to at least have that to keep putting out and trying to keep entertaining the fans and try to hold on to my whatever audience I have. And thank you again for being a part of that. I also just decided that I still wanted to play drums, you know. I wasn't going to give up on myself and get a job and just move on, you know. I just don't want to do that. So I've spent this whole year just practicing, you know, by myself. I didn't work a lot of gigs, you know, but I did get to play at church a lot, which I never got to do. And I did get to play a few more sessions than I used to get to do because I was always gone. So that kind of leads me to where we are now. I kind of thought, well, I'll just wait for the next road gig or whatever the next thing. And wasn't really all that fired up about that. And I don't care about the road all that much because usually the road is a lot harder than it looks and doesn't pay enough and you're gone from everybody and all that stuff. So the road's great when it's a really great professional outfit and you're getting paid the right way, nice bus, nice hotels, whatever, all that stuff. And even then it's still hard. So, you know, after doing the Sadie tour, you know, I basically decided, you know what, I really don't care about the road that much at this stage in my life. And what I really want to do is I really want to be playing on sessions and playing at church and playing the occasional live thing that will be fun for me. You know, like, I'm not going to be a slave to this job. I'm not going to, you know, take every gig that I want to do that is offered to me if I don't really want to do it. And I want to make money. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do. And I got some friends that are doing that I'm learning from. And my prayer has changed from, Lord, send me the next road opportunity to, Lord, please send me the next session, because that's what I love. That's the part about music that I love the most, because that's when you get to be the most creative and you get to play parts that are going to last forever, you know, not just parts that like a live show, they're just going to go up in thin air and nobody ever remembers. So that's kind of what I want the next phase of my life to be. And believe me, I know it's a stretch. Everybody in Nashville maybe wants to be a session musician, but and I've been told, like, you know what, that's a lofty goal. You're probably not going to be able to do that. But honestly, I don't care what people say. You know what I mean? Like, when people tell me what I can't do, I just try to tell them what God can do, you know, because he's already done more. Bro, like, he took the Vespers from my garage to, you know, 45 states to 3 records to over, you know, 60 grand, in crowdfunding. Like, come on, man, don't tell me what I can't do and what God can't do, you know, what he can't do through me. Like, he does stuff. He does whatever he wants to do. There's no brick wall that anybody can put up that he can't blast through, and vice versa. So, you know, I know there's only a few guys that do that, but I want to be one of them, and I'm going to work towards being one of them. And, that's what I'm going to do with my time. Also, you know, I love the podcast. I love for the podcast to grow and become something that can be a part of my work too. And also I love to speak and preach and do that kind of thing. So I hope that, you know, I get to do some of that somewhere down the road. So that's what's going on with me. You know, the Vespers is pretty much done. I don't know how long or for how long or whatever. We're all very cool with each other. We're family. We're not like a band that breaks up. You know what I mean? We're just pushing the pause button and we'll see if it ever makes sense to pick it up again, you know, and maybe we'll do a Christmas record or hymns record or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But we're just, right now, we're all focused on other things, and we're all going to grow ourselves as different kind of people and move into the next phase of our lives. And we'll be doing that together, obviously, because we're, like I said, we're still family, but not so much doing what we've done the last 7 years. So, but for me, that's my side of the story. You know, that's what I want to be doing. That's what I'm going to shoot for. And that's what I'm working towards. And I believe God can do it. You know, I want to be able to see 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now that you remember when I said I wanted to do this and I leaned into it and the Lord said, Lord made a way, you know? So everybody who told me it wasn't possible, like, they have to look back at God and wonder if in their lives, like, where can he do impossible things in their life? Because he's already done so many impossible things in my life that I can't help but praise his name and just point people to that, you know? So that's what I'm going to do. That's my deal. That's my next phase of my life is I'm just putting my focus in other areas and, going from there. So all that to say, I ended up getting a call about 6 weeks ago, kind of out of the blue, from my friend Josh. And he was like, hey man, it's not playing drums, but I have a gig for you if you want it. It's a month long and, it's a driving gig. So I said, okay, who's it with? And he said, well, it's with one of our tours, the Sadie Robertson Live Original Tour. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that sounds like something I'd be interested in because I love the Robertsons and I love what they stand for and what that show has sort of done over the last 4 or 5 years. And I said, okay, well, they seem like cool. I said, well, who am I driving around, you know, and what am I driving? And he said, well, you're going to be driving an RV with Mr. and Miss Howard. So Corey Robertson's parents. I said, okay. And also their Willie and Corey's son, Rowdy, would be on the bus with us as well. And we go from there. And it was like a solid month long, you know, commitment from pretty much September 20th to October 16th. You know, that was kind of the gig. And it was the longest tour I've been on in a while, you know, but I agreed to it because several reasons. Well, I said I don't like the road or whatever, but like I said, if in a perfect situation, I'll go and do it. And this was basically a perfect situation. The money was great. The people were great. The facilities were great. The, you know, I was taken care of in every possible way that you can be taken care of. I had great hotels every single day. My job was to sleep during the day and drive all night. So we literally followed the buses everywhere from show to show. And there was some long drives in between there. We went all the way to Phoenix, to New York, to Chicago, back down to Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, it was legit and cross country road trip. And you know, those things are good for you. If you've never done a cross country road trip, you know, it's a great place to think and sort of evaluate your life. And, to go from there, you know, so that's kind of how it's been the biggest help for me to kind of straighten out and wonder which way to go next. And that's how I came up to a lot of these conclusions I came up to in this interview this podcast is being out there on the road and just kind of rolling and figuring out, yo, Taylor, what do you really want to do with your life? You know? And so lots of 10-hour drives, 8-hour drives will help you do that. So that's what that was. Mr. and Ms. Howard are, I call them Johnny and Two Mama. They're, you know, Two Mama and Two Papa. That's what their grandkids call them. And we've become legit friends. And, you know, Two Mama will do an episode of the podcast in the future next time she's in Nashville. We never really had time on the road with my schedule and their schedule to get one in on the road. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh, you had all these opportunities to interview all these people. I'm like, well, you got to keep in mind, like, this podcast thing is touch and go. To me, I don't want to interview anybody that doesn't really want to do it. And I don't want to push this crazy podcast on anybody that doesn't know what it is or whatever. It doesn't really have anything to gain from it. You see what I mean? Like, only I really had anything to gain from a lot of these conversations, you know, except for me providing them a great conversation, which I hopefully would. But anyway, I learned a lot from all those people. I made... made some friends with, you know, some of the folks on the tour, you know, Sadie and John Luke and Bonnie Kate and all them. And so if you got to see the tour, then you know what I'm talking about. But it was really awesome. Man, it was like, dude, I tell you what, I got all the respect in the world for Sadie Robertson. She's a real deal Holyfield when it comes to her brand and her business and for delivering the gospel, man. Like, she preached it every single night right down the middle and did a great job. And I think she's a gifted speaker. So I hope that as she gets older and learns more how to do it, that her audience will only get bigger and God be glorified, you know. And all the kids did a great job, you know, not just her, you know, her brother and cousins. And like I said, Max and Bonnie Kate, if you don't know who Max and Bonnie Kate are, look up, go on Instagram and type in Bonnie Kate and you'll meet her and check out her story. But she survived the Aurora, Colorado theater shooting several years ago, and her story is well documented on YouTube. But it was really awesome to meet her and her husband Max, and they were from Baton Rouge, and you know, I got some friends in Baton Rouge as well, so we kind of made contact there. And yeah, it was just like I said, you know, over breakfast catering pretty much is the only time I was around any of these people, and it was just great to kind of get to know the ones that I did get to know. There, it was an awesome tour. All the bands were great as well, you know. Family Force 5, those guys are really cool and nice, and hopefully I can get some of them on the podcast as well. That'd be awesome. Hopefully I shooting high, people, you know. You got to have high goals in this life or you'll never hit any goals, I think, you know. So that's that tour. I would drive my day in life, and that thing would be, okay, so my day would start at like midnight, and I'd catch a ride with all the other drivers. It was 5 buses, an RV, and 2 trucks and a box truck on this tour. So it was a lot of us, and total of 9 drivers. Anyway, so we'd show up midnight, whatever, and we'd take off to the next town. And there was some freaking 600-700-mile journeys in between there. It was pretty hard nights sometimes, you know. And a lot of podcast listening and a lot of thinking and, you know, running in place or whatever you got to do to stay awake to make that journey happen and keep it between the lines and keep it safe, you know. And I made some friends with some drivers, and I'd talk to them on the phone to try to stay awake as well. And it worked out. We always got there. And even sometimes me and Johnny would co-drive it, you know, if it was a real long journey. By the morning, whenever he'd wake up, I'd let him take over and I'd take a nap, you know. So we'd end up at the venue at about usually 8:30, 9 o'clock, sometimes later, sometimes earlier. And I'd end up at my hotel usually by 11 or 12. And I'd have some of the day to myself, find me something to eat, watch a little football, and then it was time to go to bed. Like, I had to be disciplined about going to bed at a decent hour, because hard to sleep during the day, especially if, you know, you're just alive and awake because of the sun. So that was interesting. That was fun. Some nights I slept better than others. Some nights I just stayed up and because I had took a nap accidentally earlier and too early in the day, that kind of thing. But, you know, so that was every day, you know, hotel, food, find food, watch some TV, go to sleep, do it again. So that was my deal. And, you know, we went Denver to, you know, Dallas and Phoenix and Albuquerque and Indianapolis and Chicago and Florida and Birmingham and New York and just all over the place, you know. Baton Rouge, it was great. Had a great time meeting everybody, and I have all the respect in the world for everybody involved with that tour. Everybody was a real deal. Tour managers, drivers, everybody did their part, and crew, and just brought it. So it was a really cool thing to be a part of, and I was blessed to get to do it and to get paid to do it. And I don't really think I'd ever want to be doing a driving gig much, but I would do it for them people again in a heartbeat next year, because I enjoyed Two Mama and Two Papa, Johnny and Chris, so much. And their whole family, the Robertsons and the Howards, and they're all the real deal, and they're very kind people, and they treat you like family. So got to meet Willie Robertson briefly at the Dallas show and at the Nashville show. You know, that was cool as well. So everything was a lot of fun. Hung out in Monroe for a couple of days where they live, and at two mom and them's house. It was a good time. So that's that. That was why I was gone. Like I said, I was had some lofty goals to see if I could get some podcasts while I was out there. But my first thing, my priority was to make legit friends and not be a consumer, not be a worker in these people's eyes, and to do. I didn't want to be a taker, you know. I wanted to be a giver first on that trip, and that was my focus. So even if that meant at the cost of my podcast, I didn't care, because I wanted to make real friends, because that's the way real conversations happen, is from real friendships. So that's that. We'll see where the future takes us and who the future brings on this show, and we'll go from there. So that was that trip. It was awesome. It was a real highlight. But I'm glad to be home, back in Nashville. It gave me a whole new appreciation for being at home in my hometown. And, you know, it was a big page turner in my life. So thank you to Josh and to Cam, the tour manager, and to Two Mama and Two Papa and everybody else that made that possible for me. And, yeah, we'll see what goes from here. So I want to talk about the Hillary Trump thing for just a second. And I'm not typically a very political person, but, you know, if you follow my Twitter or whatever, I've been pretty outspoken this time. And it's just because I'm just kind of getting old enough now where I'm like, you know what, I just speak my mind and try to come from a place of truth and humility best I can. I don't want to be an asshole or anything, but, you know, just tell it basically the way that I see it. So I don't like either candidate that much. I mean, hardly at all, to be honest with you. And I don't think that either one is all that much better than the other. And that's sad. You know, I think it's sad that we've come down to these two choices. I think it's sad that we basically picked the two most famous people in all the running, in all the primaries or whatever. We did not pick the two most qualified people. We picked the two most famous people, in my opinion. And I think that kind of shows us where we are as a society, you know, like famous people have a lot of power, and with social media and everything and a lot of influence, and famous doesn't always translate into smart. So, or qualified to be president of the United States. I have some thoughts. Okay. So Hillary Clinton, I think is, I don't know how, with everything that she has in her background or whatever, political nightmare, you know, this last couple of years, not to mention Bill Clinton and all the baggage there. And like, I don't see how we came up with her on the ticket on the Democratic side. Now on the other side, how the heck we ended up with Donald Trump, I don't know. But the other hand, what I do like about that is I'm kind of glad that it wasn't just another politician. You know, it gives hope to somebody else, you know, like an Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, you know, or whatever. And like, I like that, you know, and most politicians are lawyers now, but I like the guys that are, you know, army generals, like that end up being presidents or whatever, you know, like that's the kind of thing. Cause I feel like those people have actually done something, you know, like General Eisenhower, like him being president. I don't know. I just, that kind of stuff makes more sense to me than just career politician. I'm over the career politician gimmick. Okay. So on that front, the Trump thing's pretty cool to me. But some of the stuff that he said is really hard to get behind. You know, politically speaking, I tend to be more conservative, but it doesn't mean that I want to vote for Donald Trump this time. I don't even know if I want to vote at all, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I really don't like Hillary Clinton. I really don't think that she's going to be good for our country. So I'm in this crossroads of, do I vote for Trump to put a vote against Hillary? Or do I sit at home, not vote at all? Do I write somebody in? Or do I try to research some of these other candidates who don't seem to be any better and vote for them? Which way should I go, you know? And I have a hard time with the way that Trump makes black people feel. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that my friends that are not white are not happy with him. You know, I don't. It's hard for me to get behind a candidate that makes my friends so uncomfortable. And that's hard to do, you know. But at the same time, I don't want Hillary. So what do? You know? I still haven't made up my mind, to be honest with you. I don't know which way it's going to go. And I know at the end of the day, God elects all the kings of the world. And there's nothing that I can do to stop what he wants to happen anyway. So he's got this under control. And there's no real reason for me to fret. But, you know, in Israel, I look back on the history of Israel when God was their king and everything was good. And they, for some reason, weren't satisfied with God being their king, and they wanted to have a human king. And so what did he do? He said, okay, fine, here you go. And most of them, except for maybe a couple, were pretty horrible. So King Hezekiah was good, and King Rehoboam and some of those are good. But, like, you know, most of those kings in Israel were horrible. And that's kind of where I think we are now, you know. We wanted a king. Now we're getting them. We wanted Hillary and Trump. Now we got them. So which way we vote, I don't know. Do I think Trump is as bad as he's been portrayed to be? No. Do I think Hillary is as good as she's been portrayed to be? No. That's kind of where I'm sitting at here, you know. I don't think either one of them are as bad or as good as they've been portrayed to be. I think the truth is, like any other time, is right in the middle. I think the media is embarrassing. I think it's such a cash grab, a quick grab kind of a vibe with the media that they'll say anything. They'll bury somebody any kind of way. I don't like the way Trump has historically talked about women. As evidenced by that tape. But I also don't like the way Hillary treated the women that her husband, you know, whatever, was involved with. And Jesus, look back on some of that stuff. You know, she's not a baby face, you know, neither one of them are. So the idea that one's a baby face and one's a heel is not, one's good, one's bad. That's just not going to work for me. You know, they're both somewhere in the middle of good and bad. Neither one of them are all that good or whatever. So what do, you know? But I'll be going into prayer about it, and we'll see which way the Lord leads me to vote, if at all, you know. So I have to think back at what my grandfather would say, and he would not be happy with me if I didn't go vote. So that weighs heavy on my heart, because anybody that knows me knows how big of an influence that he was and is on my life. So I have to come up with something. I don't judge anybody if they vote for Hillary or if they vote for Trump or whoever else, or if they don't vote. You know, that's, if that's the way that the Lord has led you, then you do your thing, you know, and far be it from me to criticize it. So, but one of them's going to win, and that's the sad truth, or the real truth, whether it's sad or not, I don't know, but pretty soon all this election stuff will be over, and then we'll be just stuck with somebody for 4 years, you know. I hope that our country can heal in some of the areas. Whoever is in charge the next 4 years, I hope there could be some healing in some, in certain areas where we are hurting as a country, and especially with the way that we treat each other as people. I think that's the worst thing we got going on, other than hemorrhaging money and owing China trillions of dollars. I think those two things are the most important to me. Is we're losing money like crazy. And someday you have to, somebody's going to collect on those debts. I don't like debt. I don't deal in debt in my personal life. I would like it for this country to not deal in debt. It's happened a couple times in the past. I'd like to see that happen again someday, you know, where we'd be paid off and not in a position to owe China zillions of dollars. That'd be awesome. And I don't like the way that we're treating each other. There's too many murders. There's too much crime. There's police that are being caught on video doing bad things. There's regular people that are being caught on video doing bad things, you know. So those are the two things that bother me the most. Racism, I don't like it. I don't like that neutrality tends to lead to prejudice. And somebody told me last year that you're either a racist or an anti-racist, one of the two. You can't be in the middle. And every day I have to wake up and decide not to be, that I want to be an anti-racist every day, or else my natural sort of post is to go with what my flesh says, which is pretty much, you know, get around people that are like you, and I don't want to be that way. So again, this is not a place of somebody who's a political expert saying anything. I'm just a regular Joe on the street that's like, you know, observing. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm in the middle somewhere. I'm not even really an independent. I just try to pick the best person that I can, you know, given the choices that we have and the things that matter to me. Maybe they matter to those people, maybe they don't. Maybe they matter to you, maybe they don't. But, you know, I hope it comes from a place of, you know, a place of humility and a place from the heart. So if you made it this far in this podcast, you're a true super fan and a great supporter, and I thank you very much. This has been me kind of just giving an update on my life. Not every show is like this. If this is the first show you've ever listened to of mine, then usually they're a lot more lighthearted and more about the person that I'm interviewing. I'm excited for the people that I'm going to have on in the next coming weeks and months. And I hope that you guys will stay tuned to these Nashville conversations that I get to have on a weekly basis, and to hear the stories of some of the people that, you know, make this crazy entertainment world go around, or church world, or, you know, whatever world that they work in. So that's enough for today, I think, for just one guy in a microphone in a room by himself. I think 45 minutes or whatever it's been is plenty. So thank you guys again. Please tell your friends, if you like the podcast, to check it out and subscribe to it. Also to hit me up on the socials. All my socials are Nashville Niner, just spelled out like 49ers. You know, that's my team. Nashville Niner, that's me. Find me and say what's up. If you like the podcast, or if you have any ideas for it, hit me up. I'd love to entertain those and just hear what you guys think. So anyway, have a wonderful rest of your day. I'm excited to see what the rest of my day brings me and what it brings you. But for now, I'm Taylor Jones signing off.